Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I get to welcome to the show my friend, Suzanne Lesko. Now, Suzanne is a fascinating person. She is a friend. I've known her for a while, and I'm telling you, she has got so much to say. Just for starters, she has over 20 years' experience in defense and national security-related communications, strategic and operational planning, program management, and high-risk training. She's a combat veteran, and she's part of an elite group of women to rise in the rank to the rank of captain in the U.S. Navy. I call her captain every now and then just for fun. She doesn't respond, but I do it anyway. She currently provides high-impact leadership training to various organizations through her role as a technical advisor with Valiant Integrated Services and as a subject matter expert with Wharton Leadership Ventures. Hang on just a second. My voice is coming and going, just so you know. So Suzanne also serves as a captain, U.S. Navy Reserve, where she is a high-level focal point for public affairs activities in Central and South America and the Caribbean to support her active duty counterparts. Now, Suzanne is a passionate advocate for women, peace, and security, and she founded the Global Awareness Through Education, GATE Project, G-A-T-E Project, which is a global nonprofit, and it provides scholarships and leadership advancement to empower strong-willed women at undergraduates from post-conflict zones to participate meaningfully in peace and security processes in their own lands. So in this episode, and I know this is going long-winded, but she's got a lot to share, and I want you to know who she is. So in this episode of Your Partner in Success Radio, Suzanne is going to share how she is moving from the war room to the boardroom with her new business venture, Global Solutionista, which is going to help create strong, resilient leaders and solve their business challenges through the art of mastery. Whew, I'm out of breath. Suzanne, good morning, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, my friend. It's good to have you here.
I'm so grateful to be here, Denise. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, we've been trying to do this for the longest kind of time, and with your schedule, and half the time I'm saying, where are you? And I don't mean, like, where are you in terms of what town, what country are you in, what state are you in? I can't keep track of you. I'll get a text and go, where the heck are you? So it's good to have you here. But you have a fascinating story, so tell people about yourself that I might have missed in that intro.
Well, I think you captured a lot of it, Denise. Moving from all my leadership experience now as a tri-sector leader, bringing that together from my background in government, military, nonprofit, and business, and using that now in terms of importance, bringing those skill sets to bridge the gap that separate those three sectors to help solve large-scale problems. So it's been quite a journey, and I'm excited to pay it forward for others.
I have to ask you, because I know people are going to ask, how did you wind up in the military?
I winded up in the military. Actually, I have my family was, have all been veterans. My dad was served in the Air Force, my sister also in the Navy, and I think it just kind of was a common, thread within our family. And between my dad, my sister, and I, we just, enjoyed the journey, and then later went on to, start my military career out of Annapolis, and, it's just been amazing ever since.
It really has. I mean, you and I have had some conversations that, we're not going to share here. We just don't have time, but you'll tell me some stories that just have me going, oh my gosh. And, I just tripped over the dog. I just don't feel like I'm nearly as accomplished as I should be when I talk with you. But the other side of that is I'm so proud to know somebody like you and work with you and, you know, chat and consult. And I really am very pleased that you're in my life, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the feeling's mutual, Denise. You know, it's all about up-leveling each other. And I think when you can create that synergy between two people moving forward and creating, you know, solving issues, creating greatness for others, I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
That's exactly right. And thank you. And that leads me back to tri-sector leadership. What is that? What do you mean by that?
So essentially, Denise, tri-sector leadership is a phrase coined by the Ivy Leagues. It is someone who has been a leader or experienced each of the three sectors of business, nonprofit, and government. And in terms of importance, Denise, these people with this experience bridge the gaps that separate those three sectors. So, and in doing so, they're able to solve large-scale problems that we're facing globally today.
Do you have some examples?
So if you're looking at, when you're looking at major corporations globally, or you're looking at building businesses in other countries or doing negotiations, having those three players or skill sets at the table just helps navigate the situation better. So it could be a multinational corporation or it could be an NGO, a non-governmental organization, and they're getting together. You know, it could be in any one of the major continents or countries, and they have to work, you know, private-public sector, or they have to figure out how to create a solution within that particular community. And so having that experience going into that environment helps you navigate it with grace and ease. So you can take the data points that you may encounter when you're working with other governments solving their issues. There's the community support, the civil society organizations, and then you have businesses coming in, building it up. You know, if it's particularly an area where there's that intersection of diplomacy and business, and you're really kind of bringing that nexus together. So for an individual that has that type of experience, they're able to, you know, see issues maybe before they happen and be able to solve those with grace and ease.
And see, that leads me back to your military experience, because I'm pretty sure that you didn't expect everything to unfold this way, that you didn't go into, you know, being in the Navy for whatever reason you joined, and you did explain that a bit, but I don't think that you actually planned all of this. It just kind of, you know, came into play as you grew and experienced and, you know, had these, you know, different events take place and, you know, different countries. How many countries have you been in? You told me.
I can't even keep count right now, Denise. It's been a lot. I've led major operations all over the world, worked in many amazing environments, you know, just the cultures, the people. I'm just so grateful. And everything has its uniqueness. And, you know, I think once you kind of have been in multinational, diverse environments, you see certain things that are salient in those data points, and you could take that intuition into the next situation and frame it in the way that adjusts course to that situation or, you know, makes sense. As you distill it down to, like, what's important for that particular business or operation that you're going into, and then make a best set decision based on what information is coming at you at the time.
Exactly, and that's where I was trying to get. Yeah. So basically, you started with the military, and because mm-hmm. of, you know, the things that you were able to do, the places, the countries, the you know, people that you were able to observe and be part of, you know, whatever was going on, I'm guessing that you then took that over time and just said, you know, at some point I'm going to get out of the military. I think you're probably going to do that in the next few years, I guess. And what do I do now? So it seems to me like over time, and you'd have to tell us how much time this has been, but you've really taken all of this information that you've gathered as being, you know, and now that you're captain, now you're going to do something private with. Is that what I'm hearing you say? You're going to take everything that you have learned and move it, the challenges that you had, the learnings, the growth, the success, and move it a little bit further down the road. But we'll get to that. That's just kind of my observation. I do have questions about it, but not just at this moment. So basically, I wanted to kind of stay with your military experience because I think it's a huge part of who you are and what you're doing. So what were some of the key challenges that you faced at the start of your military career? I mean, you are a female, and you weren't, you know, just in the Navy. You weren't just, you know, mustering in, mustering out, and you were done with it. You've been there a long time. So let's talk about that a bit because I think that's fascinating. I really do.
Oh, no, absolutely, Denise. So, you know, as you pointed out, you know, when you everything has its, you know, next phase or next season and, you know, the years you serve. And then I think it's, you ask yourself the question, what could I do now to serve humanity? Like, how can I help out humanity too? And that's kind of the essence of what the journey I've been on. And when I first started, the challenges that I faced, you know, being a woman in the field as a combat aviator and the resistance I encountered, there were other women at the time and we were making inroads. But like everything, it levels out. And how it levels out, Denise, is by the respect and acceptance of your peers, other leadership from the bottom up. And at the end of the day, you're doing what's best for the nation. So, you know, it's really about your character. It's about the teams you lead, the, you know, what you're doing to make it a better place, and also who you are as a person and your moral fabric. So those kind of key nuggets were, you know, big, I would say, you know, big pillars in my career and having amazing leadership along the way. I think we all learn from whether it's good or bad. And, you know, you take away the good and you move forward with that and you adjust course to your new situation in terms of leadership and how you apply yourself and how you instill that within your teams that you lead and bring out the best in people. Because when you raise the tide, all boats raise.
Exactly. And listen, you know, just to get a little bit personal here, when I first met you, you had, you know, not just military things going on, but you had lost your grandparents, you lost your grandmother, you lost your parents. Then not long after that, there's some hurricanes going on. It seemed like every time you would, you know, get your feet back on the ground, something would come along and just smack you sideways, and it never got you down. It never did. I remember some conversations we had. I'm like, oh my gosh, and what are you going to do now? And we'd work through it. You know, we'd talk and work through it, and you know, console one another because we all have problems, right? I mean, we all have something that just hits you sideways in the head, and you go, oh, what was that? Where did that come from?
Exactly.
And it's just,
and I think
what life is.
Exactly. And I think at that time, you're like, well, I'm not going to share that my refrigerator just broke and the freezer's not working. And,
right.
You know, this
right.
happened.
Everything's going wrong.
You know, we can, exactly. I think, you know, those were definitely, those were hard times, Denise, and we did it. You know, you were with me side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and I'm so grateful. And you never know what life's going to hit you. You think people are going to be around forever. As you know, I'm very family-oriented and have an amazing family. And to lose the two pillars of your life that were just great role models, you know, my mother and my father, my mother teaching me service and she, you know, we volunteered a lot and her creativity and her art and my father who paid it forward and always was there and showed up, you know, in my life as well as my grandmother. And they were just wonderful people. So to lose them all in such a short period of time was very challenging, very traumatic. And, but I think through that, you know, having a great support system, and what that really taught me was resiliency. And again, as I shared previously, you don't know what's going to come at you. And it's your ability to have that bounce back ability to take away, okay, what is it I'm learning from the situation? And also spending the time to grieve, because I don't think today in society we actually allow ourselves to grieve, you know, to work through issues. And everyone's different, Denise. And that really, I think, those combined experiences built the resiliency in me and my sister as well. And they've helped me just be, you know, address things in a different manner because you just see it differently, you know. And compassion, I think you just have to be compassionate with yourself, with others, as you're going through that. And it also correlates to, you know, the resiliency that we're building within my nonprofit, the GATE Project, and the resiliency women need in post-conflict zones to affect change for themselves in these patriarchal communities and nations. So based on my own life experiences, side by side with my civilian and military experiences, the experience of others, and having great friends and peers to help make an impact and build that resiliency and also strong women. And then I think along with resiliency, Denise, it's relevance. So like you take all that experience, that emotional charge that happens with it, and then you kind of can put it together in any aspect of life, business, personal, et cetera, and you say, how am I relevant now? Like based on what just happened, now where do I go, right? And so I use that as a launch pad, a launch point for resiliency and helping others work through those issues. So that's really been, you know, the crisis management part and hostile and high-pressure situations has taught me that grace under pressure. And learning throughout this whole process too, Denise, the art of communication, both verbal and nonverbal, and how to have impact and influence in those capabilities.
Exactly. And I want to talk with you about the GATE Project too. One of the things that we have learned, I think, mutually together during all of this, you know, these years of conversations that we have had, that you found, unbeknownst to you, that you are a heck of a consultant. And you didn't even know it until
I said,
Suzanne, listen to what you're doing. I think I nagged at you a bit, but you finally got it. I did? Oh, I would apologize, but it would be a lie. It had to happen. You know, but you are a great consultant to those in the military, because I remember some of the conversations we were having, and those who work with you in the private sector. And I think we both discovered about that same time that we're both really good consultants, and we kind of propped each other up with that new idea. And it was important. It was an important thing for us to know.
Absolutely. And I think that was the game changer in our relationship and our friendship, because we were able to shift the paradigm there, Denise. And so it's like, hey, you know, how do you create from, you know, what you have? Here's your raw materials, right, of like what your zone of excellence is. And then you move into your zone of genius. When you move into that zone of genius, it's, you know, it's just amazing what you can accomplish. You know, there's a book written on that by Gay Hendricks on, you know, being able to move into that zone of genius. And I think so many people, what stops them is fear, like the fear of like, what if I don't, you know, I can't do it? Or what if, you know, I don't have the right infrastructure in place? Like all those questions that can come up. And I think, again, it goes back to a support system of like-minded individuals, because you are like the five people you surround yourself with, as you and I both know. being able to just, you know, hone that strength off each other as iron sharpens iron. And so it's an iterative process too, right?
Yes, and it takes a while, because, you know, we know what we know, but we don't know how to do it sometimes, and we also don't have the faith that we can do it sometimes.
Right.
And when you're trying to operate on your own, which I've done for a long time because I'm a total introvert, it's just easier for me to do all these things all by myself. But then, as I, you know, started working and getting to know people like you and our friend Cindy and all the wonderful people that I get to meet. Yeah. And, you know, all the wonderful people that I get to meet through my podcast and through my work, I had a sea shift, if you will. I mean, I had to completely change how I view myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is because the art of mastery, and we're going to talk about that too, but it's one thing to kind of stay stuck in your own zone all the time, and it's another to listen to other people talk to you or converse with you, which are, you know, talk at you and conversing with you are two different things. But once you start opening yourself to going, huh, I didn't know that about myself, I didn't know that about you, what else is there to explore? Then life does change, doesn't it?
It sure does, Denise. And I think it's maintaining that curiosity, like the curiosity of like, what did they mean by that? Or how does that look? Or, you know, what exactly is it? Like asking the right questions, you know, and then having discernment as you move through the decision-making process. And going back to mastery, I mean, and you're doing it side by side with me now, but in your business and being able to chip away everything that's not working for you. It's like Michelangelo chipping away at David. You know, you take away all the things that aren't serving you and you get the essence, right? You get that authentic statue at the end. And I think once you can really be able to do that in your life, and it happens not only on like, okay, externally I'm doing it, but it's like your intuition, right? And knowing like what your next move is and being able to be present moment, so that you can be fully present with the people that you surround yourself with, your professional and personal, along with your loved ones, to be able to be really present. And I think that is like, that's just incredible to be able to do that without distractions, right? And have that focus,
yes,
that laser focus, and have just amazing quality of life. And that's like the sweet spot, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
And it's hard to kind of, if you are somebody who lives in their own mind the way I do, and I do, I have a very active mind. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's just hilarious.
It's
I enjoy myself a lot.
Don't go in there.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll kind of poke around in my own head and go, oh, geez, you may want to get rid of that one. But yeah,
right.
It's a lot of fun. But I have learned over time, and you're right, it's iterative. I mean, it took me the longest kind of time, longer probably than it should have, that people really are important to you, how you observe them, like you just said, how you observe patterns and how you observe behaviors and how you listen to people, how you speak to people. Everything that's going on around you is a learning process if you let it. If you don't, I don't know what's going to happen in your life. I really don't. It's scary to think about.
It is, and, you know, it's so much about that, because when you're really present, you really learn not just the art of mastery, but the art of listening, Denise. It's so powerful, and it's not about what people say. It's what people hear you say. So being able to be a good listener and responding in a very present manner, that is power. You know, that's true power. And then you're being really efficient, too, in how you communicate. Again, across your professional, personal, your family, your loved ones, and you have less friction points in life, right? So being able to do that, and then also like you shared, your self-awareness, like you're really like, okay, I didn't know that about myself, and I think the more aware you can be as a leader, then you kind of know your trigger points, your left and right limits. And you can maneuver with grace and ease through life because, like, you just do. You know, that's just the outcome. So that's what's so
it becomes natural to you.
Well.
Right. Something
like
that may not have been natural. Exactly. Okay, I wanted to go back a bit. We do this all the time. We get on a conversation, and 2 hours later, we're like, oh, geez, we forgot to talk about what we were going to talk about.
Right.
So we're on the radio. We have to stay on point here.
Right.
I have to stay on point here. So let's go back to the Gate Project, because that is a big, big part of what you do. And
right.
It's really important. It's not just something that is going to happen in a vacuum, is it? So let's touch on the GATE project, explain what it is,
absolutely,
what your hope for it, and why you did it. Why did you create the GATE project?
Yes, I'll give the listeners a little flavor of GATE. So essentially, GATE was the genesis of my experiences, Denise, and I wanted to empower women to become global leaders in peace and security to overcome likely resistance in their homelands. So when I was deployed, and later as my role as a consultant in stability operations or business stability operations, I usually was the only woman. And one of, you know, there was a few of us, but usually I was the only one if, like, we were meeting somewhere or representative at various engagements. You know, you usually were the only woman. And so seeing the impact or, you know, just being able to move the needle a little bit and having the respect of my peers, it was important. And so to have that kind of female representation across the globe, I think, is paramount in today's world. So part of GATE was, you know, paying it forward, what I have learned, passing it on to other women, using my experience, my energy, my network to build subject matter expertise and leadership capability in women in post-conflict zones to help transform their nations, Denise, at a grassroots level.
This has been something you have been thinking about for a long time.
Yeah.
When did you finally, excuse me, I'm going to lose my voice at some point, I promise. When did you decide to just do it? Because I remember there was some talk between us about, you know, I don't know if this is the time, do I have the right support, you know, do I have the right board members?
Right.
We worked through all of that, but there came a point where you just said, I'm doing it. What propelled you to just do it? Because it is an important thing.
Yeah, I think it came down to the events of my life recently, the family events, other things, and to me, there is no other option not to do it. Like, to see a world that doesn't have the impact of women leaders is not an option for me, Denise. So in the work I do as Global Solutionista, which I'll talk about a little bit later, together with GATE, that's the intersection, right? That is the sweet spot. And you know, having GATE empower women undergraduates in these post-conflict zones to gain positions of influence and positive change in peace and security within their communities is, you know, vitally important in today's world. So that's kind of what my decision point was. And I think everyone, you always ask yourself, like, you know, what do I want to be when I grow up, right? And I always knew it was leadership and it was advising and being a mentor and advisor consultant like I do now. And so those were my main drivers to, you know, launch it with the right team. And we're building that out. Like right now we're building out our board of directors. We're building out our scalable funding and our next cohort of scholars. So, you know, it's an iterative process as well. Everything is development. I think if you can look it through the lens of that, of iteration, then you know that it is a rejuvenative, a renewable cycle almost as you're creating, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean,
yeah.
You start with one idea, you go off on another tangent completely, then you may, you know, circle back to the original idea, but it's always, to me, it's always a circle. It's always, you
right.
start here, you keep on moving, and you keep, you know, eventually you're going to wind up where you began. But in the meantime,
right.
you've done all these wonderful things to get back to your original thought. So, yeah,
absolutely.
That makes perfect sense to me. It really does. So, and then that takes us, Suzanne, back to the art of mastery, which I love that, because if you're not mastering darn near everything that you're doing,
right.
honestly, whether it's just, you know, making the perfect pan of, you know, scrambled eggs, whatever it is, you should master it. You should be aware of what you're doing. You should be, if you can, enjoy what you're doing moment to moment to moment. Because, you know, you've lost your family, most of them. I just lost my mom a couple of months ago. We just don't know what is on the horizon. We don't know if we're going to be here at noon. We just don't. So to me, the art of mastery is mastering yourself. Yes, you can be
right.
a leader. Yes, you can be whatever it is that you want to do. And we don't have to be one thing and one thing only ever. We shouldn't be. But the art of mastery, to my way of thinking, is that every single thing you're doing it with flair and enthusiasm. Tell me where I might be offbeat there.
No, I think that's, you know, that's spot on, Denise, for mastery, because, again, you don't know what the future brings, so you got to own the moment, right?
Yep.
And I really learned that through through the fires of, you know, hostile situations and complex, challenging situations. And then being in that and being able to navigate those spaces with grace and ease, because I had done so much work on the mastery of my, you know, my myself, you know, and seeing how I show up in the world as a leader, as a, you know, as a human being in a these very complex environments, and then forging through that with grace and ease. And they always say, you know, it's about 10,000 hours in the field to become a master at anything. So, you know, having been there, done that in various sectors, then you can bring that skill set and teach others the same. And then you're able to, like, accept and reframe new information as it floods in and achieve optimal results, because you're able to be flexible, adaptable, and create enhanced performance and optimal results in your life and lives of others.
And see, this is, I guess this is where I'm going with, you know, you being a great consultant, because you do this. You know, I remember some conversations we had, and I would just sit there and listen and say, do you know what you just did with that person? No. Okay, let's break it down.
Let's take a step back here.
Yeah, and we would go through, and what you're doing here in this conversation is basically the same thing. You know, take control of your own sense of mastery, your own sense of leadership. I don't care if you are right now pushing a lawnmower. You are mastering that. I don't care what you're doing. You have the ability
right.
to be the master of your universe, so to speak. So take every moment and learn something from it, is what I'm hearing from you, what I've always heard from you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a learning organization. Our lives are learning environments. It's our natural habitat, Denise. And it's really about, you know, when you, you know, you meet people or you talk to your friends or family or business associates, and they'll share, like, mistakes they make or whatever. It seems like, you know, they may make the same thing over and over. And it's like, you know, if they don't apply what they learned from the last one, they're going to still show up in that way. So it's interesting how it can show up in your life.
It is, but you have to be aware of it. You have to be aware that you're allowing the same, I don't know, it's really what you're tolerating. I think a lot of people just
right.
tolerate stuff that they shouldn't tolerate. We all do it. I'll probably do it again by 1 o'clock this afternoon. It's just what we do. But,
is the cat, like, punching his little paws on your keyboard now?
That happened. This morning I was my dog wanted to go outside, Abby Rose, and for some reason she normally walks behind me, but this morning she was walking in front of me, and every two steps she would turn around and make sure I was still there. And I knew she was going to run into that dining room post, and she did, and I let her do it because I didn't. Hang on, I'm sorry, I should have already turned this off. And I watched her, and it took her, I think, 4 different tries to run into that, you know, that column. And I just looked at her like, okay, bad mom. And then I let her go. But I wanted to see if she was going to become aware that that column, which has been there all of her life, was, you know, whether it's going to change, and it didn't change. So, you know, there was a lesson there for both of us. One, don't let your dog run into a column. Two, don't follow.
Right.
You know, don't, for her, watch out for the column, I guess. But it, for some reason, it
right,
just
don't
entertained
follow her, 'cause
me.
She might bump into the column, too.
If I'm turning around, I'll smack into it, too. So, but my point for all of this is there's just so much going on in our lives. And we know this if we're paying attention. We know that we're having those million thoughts. Women, you know, how many words do we use a day? We're having millions
mm-hmm.
of thoughts, it seems like, all the time. We have to filter through all of that. We have to figure out what's best to use, what can be discarded, what the heck was that, And all at the same time, while we're running our daily lives, we're, you know, working, we're conversing with other people, we're trying to be helpful, we're trying not to fall, you know, run into a doorknob. You're right. Life is a training experience. And I love that. I hadn't actually thought of that before. Everything we're doing is a training experience, isn't it? Like a baby, you know, standing up and grabbing that coffee table. It's like, oh, and then they're going to do it again and again and again. So we do have to train ourselves constantly. And I haven't, you know, I actually haven't thought like that in a while.
Yeah, and the more you put yourself out there, Denise, you know, of different environments, you know where to push your edges, right? So, you know, you may be in a new environment, a new space, new meetings, new, you know, interviews, podcasts, whatever it is, and you're pushing your edges. So once you, it's sort of like you shared, the baby figuring out how to stand up on and walk, you know, holding on to things, and you just kind of figure it out. And I can relate to, actually, it's a fun story. So when I was probably maybe, I was probably about 2 or 3, but maybe 3 years old, and that's when I learned to swim. And my mom always used to share, she's like, Suzanne, you would go out there, you would jump off the high dive, like with no supervision. Everyone would just be like, how's she doing that? And what they'd watch me swim to the side of the wall and then be able to like hold on to the wall so that I knew that was like my anchor point, right? And so I started swimming 3-4 years old and ended up being, you know, in, that was the main part of my sports, my athletics in my formative years. And, you know, just the feel of the water, the flow. And those were my initial, you know, times in the water. It's just like holding on, you know, so you kind of build that knowingness of like, okay, everything's going to be okay. I've got the wall here. You know, now I'm going to get out of the water and I'm going to go do it again, you know, push the edges a little bit.
Exactly. So what happens to people who don't push those edges? Do they stagnate? Do they just wish later on in life that they'd done something a little bit different? My guess would be an emphatic yes.
It's possible. I mean, I would think, you know, if you look back, if you haven't asked yourself the question, you know, I want to live a life, to not live a life without regrets, right? And part of that is pushing your edges and exposing yourself to new environments and then being able to, you know, face your fears as you move into those new spaces and new territories and frontiers. And then once you kind of master that, Denise, then you're like, okay, I got this. Okay, let me try the next thing. And that can happen, you know, not just business environments, but it could be, you know, skydiving, or I'm going to go, you know, scuba diving, or like whatever it is. I don't know if you've gone skydiving, but, you know, it's rush you get. See, that might push your edge a little bit.
It would give me a heart attack, so no.
But yeah, those types of experiences, they translate actually. They translate the experience, and then you can apply that. Once you've done that, you can apply that to everything else in your life too. So it's kind of interesting how that intersects.
It does. And, you know, on a different level, you talked earlier about podcasting. I have a group that, you know, I have people in there talking about podcasting, and they come up with the darndest reasons why they can't launch now. And you know me, I'm not the most patient of people. And my advice to them is just do it. Stop whining. Quit crying about it. Just do it. It's not going to be perfect. It's not. Look, I've had close to 500 episodes. It's not perfect. I make mistakes, stumble a bit. I'm doing this live all the time. I may be coughing on you. I may not even know what I just said 5 minutes ago, which, by the way, is the truth. But you just do it. And then each time you feel a little bit stronger and a little bit better. If you wait for it to be perfect, what I call analysis, you know, paralysis by analysis, you're not going to be on a podcast. You're not going to have a podcast. You're not going to get on that plane and jump, which, my friend, I will never do. You can't even get me in an elevator if there are two people
just
already.
Wait, Denise.
No.
Wait and see.
No. I'm telling you, I will cut you off my Christmas card list if you try to shove me out of a plane. no. But the thing is, if you think about it too much and you don't do it or make the steps towards doing it, you better find another plan, because
absolutely.
Just thinking about it all the time, writing it down, making Excel spreadsheets, you know, talking to other people about how they do it, just do it.
Just do it. Figure it out as you go along. Yep.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Which leads me to your new thing, Global Solutionista. What is this?
Yes. So Global Solutionista came about, essentially, Denise, is a phrase my colleagues and friends applied to me for, as we've just, you know, talked about this whole, during our time together today, my career as a problem solver, advisor, leadership strategist, and consultant across so many different fields, from strategy to tactics to operations to business development and startup and diplomacy. And so essentially what it is providing bespoke and tailored business pathfinding services to teach people and organizations experiencing problems the art of mastery for high performance. So our clients won't just do, they will excel with my support and my network. It goes back, you know, again, to the art of mastery. So essentially, like, who we can help as Global Solutionistas is we can help business leaders, emerging leaders, senior business managers that are in tight situations and need that guidance and support, whether that be leadership development, performance management, crisis communications. And they may just not have, Denise, the network or toolkit or the greenback to do it on their own yet. And they may not even know, okay, that these types of services exist. So this is kind of the, you know, meeting the need of what I see in the world today. And they could be, facing or undergoing crisis or, you know, have a need for high-level communication processes. So essentially, we're not like fixers. We are standard consultants and transformational consultants. So we teach them the art of mastery from the inside out to transform and perform to achieve their optimal results.
Do you have some examples you can share? I mean, I know you've been talking with a lot of people. You and
yeah.
I have talked about consulting, so I'm with you
right.
on that. I think one of the best things you can do for people is just say, you know, have you tried this? And these are other options, and here's some routes that you can take. I think that's an important thing to do with sharing like that. But give me, if you can, some examples of people that you have worked with before you started launching Global Solutionista, because I'm sure that there were people, groups, you know, companies that you just went, this is
right.
my path. This is how I help people.
Yeah, so in the interest of privacy, I'll just share just examples
yeah,
broadly
just,
on that one,
yeah.
Just because of confidentiality. So, you know, it can be like, for instance, a colleague of mine scaling up a business. And again, our core pillar services, Denise, are leadership and performance for individuals and teams, crisis management for organizations, and communications for organizations. And the areas that we work in are high-impact leadership development, elite performance management, crisis management, operations planning, communication strategies and planning, high-risk training. And so, for example, a colleague of mine, they were having an issue. We were just having a conversation. They're like, okay, my husband and I run this company, but I'm not sure how to do it. Like, how do we get this proposal done in like 48 hours or 72 to scale up our business? And like, they were really going from maybe like a tier three to a tier one kind of way of being, right? In the expansion of their business. So instead of staying small and like, how am I going to figure this out? Do I write a grant proposal? Do I consult my friends? Or do I hire, you know, and they're just a small team, so they're not going to go to, you know, a bigger consulting firm that are out there, like the top three that are out there working these types of issues. They want that kind of boutique approach and assistance. So they had to write a proposal, a pitch with all the metrics and scaling it up for a company to show they had the capability to meet their clients' desires. And so to show, like, okay, I'm a two-man shop, but with the right international team I have, we're able to scale this business up. And so through the art of connection and my network, we were able to – they actually landed a giant deal, like, last week and just knocked it out of the park for what they thought they couldn't do. And it's doing the training. Like, it's doing the training workshops, the mock interviews, the expert assessments and evaluations, Denise, reports and war gaming exercises almost in a way, like Hunger Games, right? Making it fun, adding fun to the equation, and to also build that mastery and confidence within themselves so that they can knock it out of the park and be successful. And so that was just one recent example that it was just like, you know, and they thank you, like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad we had this conversation. Suzanne, thank you and your team for helping us, you know. It could be a communication issue. It could be, you know, for instance, you know, you have to pull something together very quickly. You have to get buy-in from various stakeholders that may be in different countries, Denise, different time zones. And you have to come to a decision point where everyone agrees on what's being said. It could be a press release. It could be, you know, a document. And before you do that, you've got to get buy-in. Well, how are you going to get buy-in if you don't have relationships, right? So it's being able to cultivate and foster those relationships before you have those crisis moments, and then having that ability to pull it all together in the end. And for me, at that in that moment, that communication moment, it was really a phone call. It was like, okay, just, you know, get this person on speed dial. Let me talk to them, and talking them through what we needed, and then they were able to, like, you know, bless off on what we were trying to achieve, and everyone ended up agreeing in that high stake environment to get the end result. And literally probably took 8 hours to get maybe, I would say, 30 stakeholders to agree from various sectors, you know, that have different personalities, different equities at play and needs, and then getting that harmony and consensus like that within that short time period.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a question. that's huge news. Now I have a question, though. Out of all of this, you said 8 hours and all these different things, what would you consider the top three most important things that happened were? Was it communication? What was it? What do you think the top three things were that made this work?
Top three, I would say definitely communication. Again, as I shared earlier, it's not what you say, it's what people hear. Having the conversation, being clear in your communications and giving the guidance, then knowing how to empower the team, whatever team you're working with, seeing their strengths and capabilities. And because if you have resistance, they're going to be less likely to want to help you meet the desired end state, right? So, you know, figuring out what their emotional trigger points are, or how they make decisions. And then besides that, so the communication part. And then I think, honestly, it's the leadership. You know, it's being able to lead and say, here's our intention. This is what we're going to do. And here's the why, right? Here's the why of why we're doing it. And then everyone has buy-in, and they want to support and help. So that's how you kind of really build the consensus, the high-impact team, and start from the bottom up. And it's amazing the kind of results you can achieve with that method, Denise.
Oh, I know. I think getting the second point you made is, you know, it's you give them the why, and then you get their buy-in.
Right.
And that was a lesson I had to learn fairly early on, that I couldn't just tell people what I wanted them to do and expect them to do it. I needed them to understand why I needed them to do it. And then, and this was difficult for me because of my difficult personality, but I had to learn.
No,
I had to teach
them.
Trust me on this one. You love me. You don't see the bad stuff. But here's the thing. I had to really stop and train myself to say, okay, Denise, you have this wonderful team. Sounds like you do as well. They're my team because they are as good or often better at what I do than I am. And they own their own businesses. So I make it a point to always find people who are better than I am at whatever it is that I'm doing, because I have much to learn. It took me a long time to get past my own ego. But But once I got past that, it's like, holy geez, everything changed.
That's
so I think that's what
true.
I'm hearing from you.
Absolutely. And it's that pathfinding. It's about, again, it's who you surround yourself with. You know, do those team members up-level you? Do you have something to learn from them? Especially because, you know, as you get to our level, it's like, who mentors us, right? Who do we go to
right.
for mentorship? And again, I think so many people negate that or don't take that into consideration. And they're wondering why, like, why is this not, you know, prospering, or why is this not flourishing? And a lot of it is, you know, if you don't have a great personal development plan or professional development plan, when you stop learning, you stop growing, and that directly impacts your revenue too. You may have a spike. It will be a little, you know, short spike, but it won't be sustainable or scalable over time if you stop learning. So you always have to learn what is it that I need to do to adapt or change to this situation, to be nimble, adaptable, and be able to pivot so that you can look at what worked, you know, what worked last month in my business, or what worked the last 90 days. How do I take that, the key takeaways, and apply it to the next 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months out?
Right. So going back to this example, it sounded like, oh, they need a document, they need a proposal, they need something, but that wasn't it at all, was it?
Right.
It was certainly part of it, but it probably turned out to be the least important part. It was the deliverable, but it was how they got to that deliverable that I think is the most fascinating.
Exactly, and again, it goes from the inside out. So it's not just like, and it's a feminine approach to leadership and process too. It's not an external masculine approach like get this done. You know, we all have masculine, feminine energy, and there was some of that. Okay, execute. Here's the date it needs to get done. Here's what we need to do to get it there. But then it's the feminine approach of rejuvenation, of connection, of understanding the intuition part, and them being able to, through this process, be able to figure out for themselves and then achieve the desired end state and even beyond. You know, I think they knocked it double of what their initial thought was that they would receive on this particular contract, and it just knocked it out of the park, double. So
when you tell stories like this and I hear stories like this, it just reinforces what I've learned over, you know, my career, if you will, and how I treat myself. Because one of the things that I've done to myself, and this is the worst thing you can do, by the way, so everybody listen, don't give yourself orders. I do it all the time. I still catch myself doing it. And then, you know, I live alone. I talk to myself. I talk to my cats. I can get by with talking now. I do it all the time. And, you know, I'll catch myself going, okay, Denise, you're going to do this. And then I will make it to the kitchen and I'll turn around and go, you're not the boss of me. Let's have a talk about this. And then I have to sit down with myself and actually negotiate with myself to go, okay, that was ugly. You don't talk to yourself like that. Do you talk to other people like that? Then I have to go back to what it was I said during the day. Was I mean to anybody else? I'm not often, but, you know, it does happen. You know, we've got a deadline. Dang it. Do what I ask you to do. Those are the moments that you're going to become your own bottleneck, I promise you.
Right. And again, I think it starts with how you start your day, you know, and gratitude, you know, gratitude starting the day, gratitude on the reflections of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you're grateful, you see, you know, what's possible. And, you know, we're all human, so none of us are perfect. So it's like you're going to encounter issues. But when you, like, when it has to hit the fan, you have to go into that laser focus mode, you know, something, it's, you know, it's getting whatever needs to get done, as you shared, whether it's a deadline or deliverable. And sometimes you just have to get out of your own way, because I think sometimes we are, you know, we could be our own worst enemy in that case of, you know, moving forward. And I think that's why, again, the importance of a team, a council of individuals that can, you know, you can bounce ideas off of, or say, you know, am I thinking this straight? Are we heading in the right direction? Do we need to course correct a little bit? And once I think you get that kind of, again, it goes back to consensus or feeling it out, because things happen in threes. So you kind of feel that situation out as it comes at you and be able to make a very informed decision based on what information you're receiving.
It's important. And if you are a bit of a control freak like I am, you often have to have talks with yourself. I have to say, I'm growing up. It's not as bad as it used to be. But
right.
I still have those moments like, really, Denise? Come on. Calm down. But I think that what I'm hearing here is that it really is a team effort. There, you know, you need consultants. You need, maybe it's just a really good friend who can say, what were you thinking? Is that really going to work for you?
Right.
It doesn't, whoever it is that you're gaining knowledge from, who's, like you said, mentoring or coaching you, sometimes their advice is terrific. Other times it's maybe not the moment, but, you know, put it away and you'll come back to it. But the point that you're making and the point that I'm hearing is that we can't do this on our own. We do need help. We do
right.
need teams. We do need people who are better at something than us, people that we can look up to, that, you know, we can go, oh, my gosh, that was terrific. I have one of my team
right.
members, one of my web developers. I regularly, he's good. I'm good. He's better. I promise you he is. And, you know, 2 years ago I couldn't have said that with a straight face. Now I'm like, dang, you know, I learn so much from him all the time. And, of course, I put it into my own, you know, toolkit, if you will. But I'm just
right.
glad that he's around so I can say, hey, what do you think about this? And he'll come up with an idea or a solution that most of the time I'll say, do it, run with it. And other times I'm like, in the context of what I asked you, that's perfect. But in the bigger picture, it's not going to work, and here's why. This is how we all grow. So
right.
find your people is what I'm saying.
Absolutely, find your people. And also, it's you being able to let go and say, you know what, I trust that he'll make the right decision. And in retrospect,
that was a toughie
up level.
For me. Yeah, that was a toughie.
Yeah. And you're able to learn from that and say, oh, my gosh, I have to expand, you know, bandwidth on that one. And he was able to do it even better than what I could. And I'm able to focus
exactly.
on the things I'm really good at. Yeah.
That's exactly right. So listen, we've got 3 minutes. Wow, we've only got 3 more minutes. What is...
Where did the time go, Denise?
We do this all the time. We're bad about getting on the phone and not shutting up. Well, I am, but you're not. Okay, so mastery. What is the one piece of advice
right.
you would like to give our listeners about the art of mastery? Because, you know, this is something that, since I've known you, you have been working towards almost single-mindedly. And I really appreciate watching you do what you do, learn what you learn, and then sharing it with me and with the world, you know, at large. What's the best piece of advice you can give them right now?
So, Denise, the best piece of advice I would give about, or to your listeners about the art of mastery is to keep learning, to keep growing, because you never know, Denise, when you need to adapt or change. And when you have that as your foundation, you're able to expand out and tackle the tough issues that we face today in our world, in our businesses, in our lives, and you're able to do that with grace and ease. Those would be my takeaways and advice I would give to your listeners.
And one of the biggest touch points I always hear from you is about gratitude. Anything
Absolutely.
To say about that? Anything to share?
I think it's just living a life of gratitude, right? What am I grateful for? Because when you can live from gratitude, you are in service, right? Versus sharing what's not going right or what's going wrong. I mean, you could have, you know, is the glass half empty, is it half full? But when you're in gratitude, it just expands every other part of your life. And you could be in the most dire situation and you can move up into, you know, a better place or a better situation just by, you know, what am I grateful for, asking that question.
Exactly. Suzanne, thank you so much. Before I let you go, where can people
mm-hmm.
find you on the web?
Yes, yeah, so I believe you'll have them in the show notes, but they can find us on www.globalsolutionista.com, also my LinkedIn profile under Suzanne Lesko, and Facebook and Twitter, and they can also email me, suzanne@suzannelesko.com.
And the Gate Project, the Gate
Project
Project.org. I know because
Correct.
I built it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just get my little plug in there.
You did one amazing job, Denise.
Oh, thank you. See? The check's in the mail.
Yes.
Okay, so listen, thank you so much for thank you for being with me here. It's always wonderful chatting with you, and I thank you for all the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience. And before we say goodbye, I would like to remind the audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and really anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Suzanne, thank you.
Thank you, Denise. It's been a pleasure today.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.